Papa. Polish and brats are cooked on-site and served in a crusty bun with your choice of toppings. Also available, pierogies, french fries, and more. The market is open Saturdays from 9 until 2 on and along 2nd Avenue and Plaza de Way.
Supporting WGTD is the Bristol Renaissance Fair, carrying you back to 16th century England with huge turkey legs, ale, wine, feasting, and nonstop entertainment on 13 stages and in the village streets. Open Saturdays and Sundays through Labor Day. Online at renfair.com.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning and welcome to Education Matters. My name is Mike Kehoe. I'm the anonymous weekly host that Dave Cole just referred to in the introduction. And today I have three people from the Kenosha Education Center with me as my guests. And let's go from my left and go around the room. And would you please introduce yourselves and let the people get to know your voices and tell us what you do.
Hi, I'm Jill Jensen. I'm the president of KEA. I'm a first grade teacher with KUSD.
I'm Tanya Kitz-Lewinsky. I'm the KEA treasurer and a special education high school teacher in KUSD.
Hi, I'm Mindy Duford, and I am the vice president of KEA and a kindergarten teacher here in the district.
Okay, let's begin with something like this. I wonder if you could talk about some of the changes that have occurred, particularly in the last year. I know in the last couple of years we've been trying to deal with changes that have come as a result of Act 10, which affected all public employees, but especially teachers and people who work in schools. And we've had a complete change in personnel over at the KEA. And why don't you tell us a little bit about that background?
Hey, we have all three of us are new officers in our positions. And we have an executive director, which we share with Milwaukee. And we also have a wonderful lady, Kendra, who's here from the NEA. We all work together to keep our union going strong. And we're putting together programs that help our educators improve the lives of their students. We want to work with the district with our programming to be partners in education so that we have all of our classrooms education match up with what is needed with the students.
Okay, and I wonder if you could kind of summarize the history of the last couple of years, the three of you. Feel free to jump in what your perspective on things has been. What changes have come about to put the three of you in office here and where you're going? Go ahead.
Well, I think pre-Act 10, KEA's emphasis was always on contract bargaining and trying to come up with the best contract that we possibly could for the students and the teachers, because we all feel very strongly that our teachers' working conditions, our students' learning conditions. But post-Act 10, we've had to reimage ourselves a little bit because obviously our collective bargaining chip has gone by the wayside. So right now with the new leadership, we're in that process of reimaging ourselves and less emphasis on the collective bargaining piece, which is severely curtailed, and more emphasis on creating partnerships both with the teachers and with the community to help best serve our students in the classrooms and give our teachers the tools that they need in order to make the classroom experience as successful as possible for our students.
At our recent leadership retreat, we had a lot of discussion about, changing that old kind of service model where I was a member of the union, of course, and I appreciated having a union. I appreciated knowing that, you know, I had folks who were bargaining for me, but I wasn't an active member until after, until Act 10 and all of the protests in Madison. I think now we have to look at what is the union after Act 10, and it's not, although collective bargaining as a tool isn't there anymore, we still have collective action, and it's still important because we still need to be advocating for our students and for the educators who are in the front lines in the classroom.
One of the things that occurred to me when I came up the stairs and saw the three of you was suddenly realizing that this is a completely new group, and thinking to myself, but there was not a revolution in the KEA. People weren't thrown out. The people who we were dealing with last year at this table that we're talking around simply are not here any longer. And they are people who took us through the period when KEA was fighting to retain its status as a bargaining agent. Is that correct? And now that's been done. And you're recertified. Do you have to recertify every year?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so you're recertified, and a new group has taken over for the exhausted people who were carrying the baton before. and what kind of things have you been doing to get yourself started?
Well, we had a leadership retreat where we're coming together looking for new goals for the KEA. We are making programs to help our teachers. For instance, classroom management is being offered, degrees not debt, learning about...
Like donors choose, learning how to crowdfund to get things that our students vitally need in the classroom.
Yeah, we've also been holding programs on helping teachers get through the evaluation process. Statewide mandated the teacher evaluation process called Effective Educator is quite involved. And so we've held several workshops over the last year or two to help teachers work through that process to the best that we can. And we also have been offering classes or workshops, I guess, on what they call the PDP process, Professional Development Plan, which is the process that new educators have to go through in order to get their license now. And that's quite an involved process for those new educators.
Oh, and we're also working on becoming a collective voice for our educators. If issues do come up, they have a place to go to bring forward. Because, for instance, we had a planning prep time committee formed because at the elementary level, we felt that there wasn't enough quality planning prep time led. And so it was brought to the attention to the district, which surprisingly, they were unaware of the issue. And so we brought it forward to them to make them aware of the issue. And now they are have changed our planning prep time and has increased it for the elementary teachers in order for them to plan better for their students. And that has now led to a secondary prep time committee because they too feel they need that time to have to plan for their students to make it the best for their students.
Wonderful. Now we have several directions we can go in, and I do want to get back to the summer meeting that you had. But Mindy, you raised something that I don't want to let get away from us because it's something I encounter all the time. I should let people know I do have a relationship with KUSD. I'm not a KUSD employee, but I work at Bullen Middle School through a federal program, and that is the Effective Educator Program and the work that teachers have to go through every single year to qualify themselves. They have to have a professional development plan that they have to work on, and I don't think the public is aware of that, so I'm really glad you brought that up. People think, the majority of people out there, I think, believe that a teacher goes to college, gets their degree, gets hired by a school, and then they're there until they retire. And don't realize that teachers work on annual contracts and that they have standards that they have to meet every single year. They have to work out their own plans, and they have to meet those and to the satisfaction of their administrators. I'm thinking of a book that the man wrote, Angela's Ashes. I have terrible problems with names. Frank McCourt. Frank McCourt wrote a book called Teacher Man. And one of the things that he spent the first part of his book talking about was how many wonderful teachers left the field of education or were forced to leave the field of education because of the administrators that they had to deal with in their first year of schooling.
All right. One of the KEA's concerns is the fact that so many new educators leave the field within the first 5 years of becoming a teacher because of all of the demands on them through both the licensing requirements that are now put upon them, as well as the classroom demands and not being totally prepared to handle the demands of a classroom. I don't know about Jill and Tanya, but I know when I first started teaching, you got into your own classroom and felt, wow, they really didn't prepare me for all of these things in college. And so I think some of the professional development things that we can offer to those new educators can help get them through that hump of being in that new classroom situation and not having all of the resources that you need to be successful as a new teacher.
Now, one of the things I've observed in my in the 5 years that I've been doing what I'm doing over at Bullen is it seems like almost like a new school every year, because there are so many teachers who have maybe transferred to another place or dropped out of a lot of them dropped out of the profession. At the beginning, it was teachers who were taking early retirement or were just bummed out by Act 10 and all the things that came with it. And it was older teachers. But now, since then, newer teachers have been coming and staying a year or two and leaving. And I think the district owes a great debt to the small cadre of more experienced teachers, senior teachers, who stayed there and helped out the younger teachers and kept the ones that we have. But what kinds of things can you do to help folks in that situation?
Well, I think one thing is that we keep an open door policy with the KEA and the KUSD. The teachers that might have concerns or issues feel that they can come to us, have a discussion, and then that way we can bring it forward to the KUSD to explain to them what is happening in the classrooms. They're not in the classrooms. The teachers are in the classrooms, and we want to be there for them and have their voice and their support.
I think we've also been offering coursework on how to do the PDPs, which is part of the new licensure requirements now.
The PDP being?
Professional Development Plan.
Okay.
That new educators have to put forth. And part of that plan, Tanya, you probably know more about it, with that they have, I believe it's a 5-year period to do the professional development plan, and you have to have a team of educators that help you develop that plan and evaluate it. Tanya, I think you can probably tell us a little bit more about that whole process.
Sure. So under the former licensure plans, you would take a number of credits in order to renew your license each period. That has gone away for teachers in the last, I want to say, who have been licensed in the last 12 to 14 years, now have to write a professional development plan, follow it, document it, upload artifacts, and it's kind of an extensive process that teachers definitely can use additional support in doing. I think, you know, supporting new educators is something that we take really seriously as a union, and I think it's a natural place for our union and for our district to collaborate, and we hope to see more of that in the coming years. We hope that the district sees the value in working with us to support new educators.
Yeah, that strikes me as something that is really important. It would be really helpful because, especially in the field of special education, which is where I spend most of my time, I fortunately don't have to do this work, but the special education teachers that I work with, they have to do this at home in the evenings, on weekends, at the same time that they're trying to grade papers, come up with lesson plans, and do the things that used to be done. Some of them used to be done during, there was a one period set aside during the day for preparation, teacher preparation, which was cut back because of Act 10.
That one prep period is never enough.
No, it's
for teachers. I know we're at the first full week in August, and there's already teachers that are back in the classrooms trying
sure.
to get.
And I wasn't suggesting that it was. I was just saying that, especially in the field of special ed, there is so much work that has to be done. In addition to what the public knows of is the classroom time, but there's so much has to be done outside of classroom, plus the professional development that you have to do in order to keep your job and to keep moving ahead.
Totally correct.
So outside of the field of special education, is the workload that heavy on work that's not directly related to the classroom that they're in, working with their kids?
I would say so. I'm a kindergarten teacher, so there's a lot of prep involved in order to be ready for that bunch of cute little five-year-olds that need a lot of support to do anything, really. Most of the teachers in my building, which of course is an elementary school building, we get to school at 7 in the morning, and at least half our staff are still there at about 5 o'clock at night, still getting things ready for the next day. And I know that's at the elementary level. I believe at the middle school and high school level, their preparations are different. Of course, they have a lot more papers to grade, but I think every teacher out there puts in a lot of extra time beyond the contracted day.
Yeah, I'd be interested in hearing from all of you about this, because my perspective, what I seem to see with both the teachers who stay and the teachers who give up, is just a feeling of being totally burned out. They just can't wait till the end of the school year, and yet the end of the school year is something that you really don't look forward to, because you're going to be saying goodbye to students and saying goodbye to friends, and it's an emotional time, but you're exhausted.
And that's kind of why we took on the prep time campaign, because it is so valuable to our teachers, so they have that time to do their planning, prep for what needs to be done. And also, they need that time to collaborate with other teachers. Like, I'm a first grade teacher, so I need to be able to collaborate with my other first grade team so that we are planning our lessons. Where are you in your math lesson? What are we doing for reading and language? There's a lot of collaboration time so that we are on the same field. And there's always seems to be, every year, new initiatives, new report cards, new standards, and we're always having to adjust. It seems like it has been increasing, and I think that is contributing to a lot of the burnout and people turning away from the profession, unfortunately, because we need great quality public school teachers, but we also need a district to back them, and we also need the community to show their love and support, because we love and support their child.
All right, let me bring you back then to the topic that you started out on, that I led you astray on, and that was your summer organizational program. Can you tell us something about what went on with that?
I was a summer organizer last summer, and we used active educators, teachers, and education support professionals who are also members of KEA to go out into the community and talk with both our members and potential members about what they love about their jobs, what's great about KUSD, and also what they're passionate about and what would what issues they're concerned about or what would make them be able to serve students even better in our district. And so much of that organizing project was a listening project, really to go out and hear what our educators care about, what our students need.
Did you, this was a get-together, was it just a weekend away that you all did together? Or was it something longer than that?
Oh, for the summer organizers, they do this all summer long. But for a leadership retreat, we did a three-day retreat in Eau Claire to learn about what more we can do for our union.
And this was with other...
It was with other locals throughout the state, Green Bay, Milwaukee, Madison, and also regions in our area for smaller school districts. And we also get to discuss what's happening in their district. And what was really interesting to find out is how, for instance, Milwaukee, Green Bay, Stevens Point, they have an open door policy with their superintendent where they get to go in and meet with their superintendent to discuss issues. It's a time to collaborate and problem solve. It's not, and that's what we're hoping that we can eventually get to here. They also are in at the new teacher orientation before the school year starts, so they can explain to the new teachers coming in what a union is all about. Because as our young people come through the doors, I feel that the union model is not completely understood, and they aren't they don't know the value of a union because it's not out there as much as it once was. And we want to share with them that we are their collective voice, and we are there for their support and for many programs that can help them through the year.
What other things did you, what similarities did you come in contact with that other school districts, teachers in other school districts are going through, and maybe some things that are different? Any fresh ideas that you got?
Keeping teachers, recruiting members, dealing with the issues, and just the differences right now is the way everything is being communicated, and we want to keep an open communication going.
Our previous administration in Kenosha was criticized a great deal for a lack of communication, not taking place, and it seems to me like a real effort is being made by Kenosha Unified to improve that. We were talking before about a mailing that went out before the school board meeting at which the pay plan was adopted, in which the superintendent talked about how she viewed teachers as being partners in education, and when you had your unfortunate fire, there was an effort at Bullen Middle School to raise some money to help the KEA, and the principal sent out an email in which he again referred to teachers as a partner in education. Do you feel like a partner in education at this point, or do you think there's a lot of work that needs to be done on that yet?
The partner in education has definitely improved since our previous superintendent, and we do have back and forth email to communicate, and I do appreciate her outreach for our unfortunate fire. I just want the door to be opened even a little bit more so that we feel that we can come in, us three, Mindy, Tanya, and I, and to discuss issues that members have brought to us. We're really hoping to improve that. She did talk with us for prep time and planning time, so we know it's there. We would just like to be at the table more.
What kinds of things do you think that you as members of the KEA and as teachers can do and can offer to the district and to the school board and the superintendent to promote better education in Kenosha? What kinds of things can you uniquely present?
Well, I mean, I think one of those things is what we had talked about earlier, and that is the support that we can offer to all educators, and particularly to new educators. We know that teacher turnover and teacher retention are issues across the country, but attracting and retaining quality educators are just as important to us as they are to the district. We're about best serving our students, and so if we can be there to provide support, professional workshops, and be a voice for our students and for educators in our district, then that's a natural place that we should be partnering. I also wonder if sometimes the district is possibly still viewing us as like a complaints department, and that's not our intention at all. We want to be collaborative partners, and we want to be collaborative in solving problems so that we can best serve our students. That's what we're here for.
I think some of our members, because of past history in the district, some of our members are not as comfortable going straight directly to administration at this point. That's something that the district is trying to work on, that we are trying to work on, that open and transparent communication, but it isn't quite there yet. So we sometimes have the ear of our members, and they want us to use more of that collective voice to try and problem solve issues that might be coming up either in the classroom or in a building, rather than just one person sticking their neck out.
All right. In that connection, if a teacher has had a conversation, has been called into the principal's office, and they've had a conversation about something, or they've received a letter suggesting that they could improve their performance in a certain area or something like that, do you still, as a union representative, have the ability to go with that person to a meeting, if a meeting has been scheduled with the principal, for example?
Yes, we're able to be in there to be their, like, note taker, their
second set of ears, to help them. If it's a disciplinary type issue, we're there to help them, I guess.
And just to make sure the process is followed, I guess, correctly.
Right. You know, our members are entitled to a due process in any action. And if it's an issue that would require discipline, I guess we would recommend talking to Chris, our current executive director, and to be represented. But
so a teacher or an employee can have someone come there as a representative, not just a person to take notes and then talk to them on the hall afterwards? Someone can actually speak for them?
Members in our district still have representation.
Yes.
I do think it's important to note, because I think that myth really is still so prevalent, that unions protect bad teachers. I've had a conversation with several potential members in the last year who still hold that belief, and I'll be honest, I held that belief at one point. We are here to ensure due process, but we are here as advocates for students. Our job is excellence for students. That's why we became educators, and we want excellence in our profession. So while we ensure due process, we are not in the business of protecting bad teachers.
That's a very good comment. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I have a question for all of you. I can understand why people go into education. It's not just a profession. It's a vocation as well. You care about children. That's why I do what I do. But I often wondered, what motivates someone to go beyond that and become a union representative, for example?
I can talk about my experience a little bit. I was not active with the union prior to Act 10. I became involved during the Madison protests. But when I really got passionate about the union, it was because of advocating for students. At the time, I was working in Milwaukee Public Schools, and I was in a very small alternative school, and I was fairly isolated. And there actually was a staff member at the time who I felt was actively harming students there. That staff member was practicing gay conversion therapy with students at my school, and I was deeply concerned and actually ended up having to help the student with mental health resources due to the actions of that social worker. And during that time, I was fighting by myself, pretty much in isolation with just another couple of teachers. I tried everything that I could think of at the time, and some people even had suggested that I go to the union. And I said, well, the union represents him too, so why would they help with a situation like this? So I didn't go to the union. Instead, I tried to fight mostly by myself. I worked my way all the way up to the superintendent, and nothing was done. And it wasn't until I went into my union office for help, actually support with my professional development plan, and then ended up in tears in the office of one of the union employees' offices, and telling my story, that anything was actually ever done about this employee. And that person said to me, why didn't you come to the union? And I said, because you represented him too. And she said, no, that's not what we stand for. And that's when I knew that was, this is where I want to be. You know, I want to be part of an organization that is about what's best for kids. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that in isolation.
No, and that's a really important point, that none of us can affect change all by ourselves. We need that strong collective voice, that membership in an association, in our case, the Kenosha Education Association, which is also part of the Wisconsin Education Association, which is also part of the National Education Association. And we need that strong collective voice in order to affect change. One person can't do it. And I really got involved and active when I started to realize that in order to affect change and in order for the teacher voice to be heard when it comes to education policy, you need to be part of that bigger collective. Otherwise, our legislators are going to be making those decisions for us and what's going to happen in our classrooms, and they don't know what they're talking about.
Okay, how many teachers and educational support professionals, teaching assistants, are there in the district? Do you know? Any of you?
I believe there's about 1,200 teachers in our district, and about 300 educational support professionals.
Okay, and you're spread among how many different schools and locations?
38 schools.
38 schools. So you've got about 1,500 people, and you're spread about through 38 different schools, and you're dealing with 38 different principals and mm-hmm. more administrators, plus the central administration.
Mm-hmm.
So it would seem to make just common sense that you would need some organization where you could all get together, share information, share common problems, and work together to solve them and to deal with the administration.
Mm-hmm.
This is an enormous district. I think the public isn't aware of how big it is.
Right, and there's something like 22,000 students.
Yes.
In the district. You know, it is a big district. And I personally don't think that the administration really wants to have to answer, you know, 1,500 emails about an issue. I think that it's a whole lot more productive if you can sit down with a few people who are speaking on behalf of a larger group.
All right, we've talked pretty much about representation of teachers with administration. Can you think of any other areas in which you think there's room for the Kenosha Education Association and similar organizations throughout the state to work with their school boards on improving how they teach?
In this last year, we've really have reached out to the school boards. We have called them and talked with them about issues, and they have come to us to meet with us at the KEA so that they better understand what is going on in the classroom And this also then can be looked at during the school board meetings on different policies that come forth, because now that they're hearing from us on what is happening in the school buildings.
We'd also like to develop some more partnerships with different community organizations that help advocate for our students as well. You know, obviously one of the hot topics right now are immigration issues, and we have students that are affected by some of the current immigration policies, and we want to be able to help them through the issues that we are having to. So we really want to be able to partner with the community and different community organizations as well.
The KEA has encountered a lot of struggles in the last couple of years, including our recent fire, but we are turning a negative into a positive. We are bringing our members together because, as we all know, a union is not a building. It is the people inside that building. And we bring our members together as some of them are ARs, association representatives. They have come to us with monthly meetings where they can bring their issues, their highs, their lows, and that is how we form together as a group and present that forward to the board if need be, or to Dr. Sue if need be. It helps us guide us, and we have a direction on where we need to go. Our union is member-driven and member-led, and that part is the bread and butter of our union, of the contracts and the salary and the health care, which we all endure. We need these things, but we also want to get beyond that, and that's our next step.
And, you know, the fire is certainly a big challenge for us, but we're also seeing it as an opportunity. We're going to continue because the voice of educators is needed. You know, you have to hear from the people on the front lines of serving students. And our students need us. They're counting on us. I know we're going to continue to move forward as an organization in terms of kind of changing our model. And we're looking to the successful model of unions like the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association and unions in like Chicago and St. Paul, successful union models that have looked to looking towards social justice unionism. So it's no longer like your vending machine organization where you put your money in and you get back what pops out of the vending machine. Now we're looking more to a union that's more like a gym membership, where members need active participation of our members. And we're going to use the fire as an opportunity. We're continuing to use it as an opportunity to reach out to our membership and find out what matters to them and where we need to be advocating. So we're looking at continuing to develop advocacy in terms of professional issues, offering a wide scope of workshops that benefit our educators and then thus our students in the classroom. And then we're also looking toward what social justice issues we can impact in the community that matter to our students as well, because we know that our students and families exist inside and outside of the classroom. We're looking at things like, I know as Mindy mentioned previously, immigration is something that matters very much in our community, how educators can support our students who may be worried about things like ICE raids in our community. So we're part of a coalition in Kenosha that's looking at those kinds of issues and how we can be supportive as public school educators for our students and families. And we'll continue to reach out to our membership and find out what issues matter to educators in our district.
Another issue that came up last year is the issue of gender equality with the Ash Whitaker lawsuit that came up last year. And our KEA leadership immediately kind of jumped to the forefront. How can we help educators in the classroom deal with this issue in a positive manner, both for the students and for the staff? And last year we had a workshop that dealt with specifically how to deal with gender issues that come up in the classroom and gender equality. Tanya, I believe you attended that workshop, didn't you?
I did attend it, and so, you know, while the district is kind of going back and forth with lawsuits, the educators continue to need to support all of our students in the classroom. And so it's important to us to be able to treat our students with fairness and equity and not wait on our school board to adopt policies around gender, but to move forward in making sure all of our students feel safe in the classroom. That's our primary objective. We want them to learn, and we want them to feel safe.
Every day that I'm in a classroom, I see something added to the spectrum of problems at the school district and the teachers in the school district and the parents and the kids in the school district are trying to deal with, and it just seems overwhelming. So there must be a very large role that you can help fill. You mentioned the fire. Give the WGTD a pat on the back. Our news director, Dave Cole, was there during the fire and saw it. And I got some photos of it and sent it to some of the people who were formerly in your positions. And one of them emailed me back, wow, a lot of history destroyed there. But we're still here. And it looks like a place that these are some ashes we can rise from. So we've got 3 minutes left, and I'll just ask a general question, which I usually do at this point. Is there anything we haven't covered that you think you would like us to deal with?
I definitely want to say that the KEA is still here. It is going strong and becoming stronger. And I also want to reach out, because of the fire, to all the other unions that have embraced us and reached out to us, because union togetherness is power.
I think we're new leaders of our association, but our intent is to continue on the strong voice that KEA has always had in advocating for our students and our educators.
If you need any support, have any questions, need more information, or even how to get involved with the KEA, we are currently housed at the UAW. We have a Facebook page, the Kenosha Education Association, and we have our website running. It's kea.weac.org. We have members in every building. Please reach out to them. The KEA is a growing organization. We are growing members, and we are here to educate our students and advocate them. So please come join us.
With that, we'll call to the end this week's session of Education Matters. My name is Mike Keough. I'm one of four rotating hosts for this program. I want to thank you for joining us, and please tune in again next week. Can't tell you for sure what the program will be. We're in the process of somewhat juggling our schedule with a new host, but I assure you it'll be something interesting. If you know someone who has been unable to hear this program but would be interested, you can go to the WGTD.org website. We have all our programs archived there. You can access any of our programs at any time that's convenient for your schedule, 24 hours a day. Again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Support comes from the Racine Heritage Museum, inviting you to learn about downtown Racine's rich history by taking the Heritage Walking Tour, offered Saturdays through the summer. To find out more or to RSVP, visit racineheritagemuseum.org or call 636-3926.
Support for WGTD comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring slices of pie from Mr. Dye's Pies. Varieties include sweet potato, pecan delight, key lime, and more. The market is open on and along 2nd Avenue in Plaza DeWay, Saturdays from 9 until 2.
Support for WGTD comes from Andrea's. It's patio season, which means al fresco dining at Jack's Cafe. Stop by and enjoy the sun along with one of their breezy summer cafe specials. Updated daily at andreasgifts.com.
Support comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring Right Way Farm. Indulge in the summer bounty of squash, cucumbers, watermelon, green beans, potatoes, tomatoes, and more. Certified organic. The market is open Saturdays on and along 2nd Avenue and Plaza DeWay from 9 until 2.